Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman. Songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy.
Songs
of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman, songs of life we bring. Songs of love and songs of joy.
Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Because we know that this is a subject matter that is not often talked about in churches, but it's a subject that has to be spoken about. So we just thought, why not address this subject on Woman to Woman? It's us. It's just our sisters. We occasionally get men that listen in. So men, if you are listening in on tonight, we welcome your opinions. We welcome your thoughts. We're always open to hear from a male's perspective. But we also focus on our sisters, amen. So
amen.
Tonight's subject matter is, I think you've seen the flyers going around all day, and the subject is C-sex, sexy sales. And I'm going to repeat that, C-sex, C, because normally sex, especially as it pertains to sexy, is like C, me, C-sex, sexy sales. And so we're going to get into a lot of good things tonight. We are looking for audience participation because we don't in no way want to act like we're the experts on this subject matter. We know that this is a controversial topic, so one of the things we want to do a little house cleaning up front. We will be opening up the lines to get comments, opinions, questions. We want to ask that everyone, as mature adults, that we remain respectful, that we understand that everybody has differences of opinions. So we want to just make sure that this is done tasteful and that hopefully we all get something out of it on today. We're going to just kind of toss this around. We're going to touch on a couple of subjects under this one topic because we're going to be dealing with what is sexy. Is it really? Is that really even a true word?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about if it has anything to do with your outer appearance or is it an inner mind attitude. We're going to deal with those embarrassing moments. I don't know if any of us have experienced that. I know I have early in my walk. I can remember wearing inappropriate things or what was led to believe to be inappropriate things to church. So we're going to talk about all that. What's appropriate? What's not appropriate? What's acceptable? What's not acceptable? What does? And at the end of all of it, guess what? It's not going to even matter what our opinions are, because it's going to be, what does God say?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I am so excited about this subject, and I can't wait to just dig in. And definitely want our audience to participate, because, as Coach D said, I think a lot when it comes to the term sexy, and then when it comes to the idea of what sexy is and what sexy is not, I think that has a lot to do with opinion more so than anything else. Opinion, culture, authority, the environment that we live in, the beliefs of our cultures that we live in, or are the organizations that we belong to, be it church or, you know, just any type of organization that we can belong to. So definitely can't wait to dig into this topic.
Well, I want to start off by saying something. I want to set a foundation. I want to set a foundation because one of the things I'm going to share, and I know we're going to be all over the place tonight, but I want to share something, because when me and Minister LaDon bring up these topics, one of the big things we have to do is we don't just think of a topic, pick up the phone, and start talking. We don't just come in the studio and start talking. We have to do some research. Mm-hmm. We have to do researching. We have to do word studies, and we have to understand first and foremost what the word mean or the topic mean that we're talking about. And one of the things in doing the search, and me and her did this search together, we could not find anything about sexy, S-E-X-Y. We looked for the Hebrew word, we looked for the Greek word, and even in the dictionary, all it could tell us that sexy was a derivative of sex. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we go into this, further into the discussions on tonight. Please keep that in mind, because then you're going to understand some of the direction and some of the twists and turns that this takes. Because, again, keep in mind that sexy is really not really a word. It was something that was just created. It would be just like we say stuff like Flavor Flav had a saying that you dramatical. Okay? So now everybody's walking around talking about you dramatical. Well, that's not even a word. That's a word that somebody else came up with. If it's not in the dictionary, it's a derivative of drama. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying that to you because a lot of words we use, and even words that we have tagged as important words, are really not words at all.
Even, you know, I've been hearing a lot of, and I still, you know, my daughter has told me before, but I don't remember, but the word thought or taught or whatever they use them to describe.
Thought.
T-H-O-T. Yeah, like there's people all across the internet, and, you know, you're walking down the street and you hear people talking about thoughts, and I'm like, what in the world is that?
You know, and then, you know, and I've heard the word, now, okay, y'all going to have to help Coach B. I've heard that word thought, and I'm sure somebody's listening. I don't even know what that means. I know it's negative. I know it's negative because I just hear people throwing it out, but I'm not really sure. I know it's initials probably for something.
It definitely is. I don't know what it is, but hopefully one of our listening audience, maybe they know what it is, or, you know, maybe take a moment to ask Facebook, what is the word thought, and we'll, you know, and this is just, you know, something that's fun to do while we're doing this topic, but it just goes to show how you have these words that people take and run with, and there's so many different meanings that can be applied to these words. And then like when you think of the word sexy, there are so many situations, there are so many circumstances that are determined or governed by that word that somebody created. And I think you had found out it was created in like the 1600s or 1800s or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And so now it governs what we do and what we think and how we react and how we respond today, because somebody just said, I'm going to use the word sexy. So, again, you know.
And, I mean, eventually it probably will make it to the Webster Dictionary. If a word is used long enough. Well, actually, believe it or not, it may not make it to Webster's, but if you put defined thought in the
Urban Dictionary
is going to come up, and it's going to give you what the urban means. And I hate the fact, and excuse me, but I hate the fact that it's even an urban dictionary, because basically we know what urban means. And so, it's, you know, I guess, you know, it's like your own land. Well, I don't know if I hate it, but it's just like all, if you look in the urban dictionary, there's a lot of negativity.
But I love how you said we know what urban means, because that is exactly why we're doing this topic tonight, because urban actually means one certain, it describes the environment. It really doesn't describe the people.
Right.
But because certain people live in that environment. They tagged it to the people. And so, again, we have to start understanding the words that we're using, the words that are governing our responses, governing our thoughts, and how we behave today. And that's exactly why we're doing this show on sexy. And I hate that I took you away from your original thought, but you were getting ready to open with some
more information. Now, see, we're getting hit, so we're going to – this is getting exciting. We're already getting hit on our page about what thoughts are, and I think somebody made a comment about that H out of there. So when you're pronouncing it, even though it's T-H-O-T, is the H silent?
That
ho?
That ho? Is the H
oh.
ho? That ho out of there?
Take that –
huh? That says that H out of there. So I'm thinking that hole out of there, or that hole over there, or something.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Trivia question. I know you guys think we're crazy. You know, this is going to be fun as well, but we always going to do things decent and in order, but we're going to have some fun with this. We're going to really have some fun. So so the definition for thought is take that.
Oh,
that hole over there. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, and now everybody is using that term and running with it. And that is governing what our young people are doing, how our young people are responding, and how they're treating each other. You know, they're running around talking about, look at that thought or that thought, and they, you know, I'm going to take it back, because this is all about words.
Mm-hmm.
A good word spoken is a blessing. And this is what I've learned from my mentor, my spiritual dad, and my godfather. A good word spoken is a blessing. A bad word spoken is a curse. We know that there is death and life in the power of the tongue. And so this is what we're speaking over our young people today. We're running with different just terms. And what happens is these terms, these words are creating a mentality, a frame of mind of how we, again, how we respond to things. And you, when it comes to the word sexy and what people think that it means and how people respond to that word, how we live our lives as women, how we dress, how we treat other women, how we treat our young girls growing up, our daughters. We have to know why that we deem that word either important or unimportant, what it really means, and how is it dictating what we do.
Amen, yes. Well, we're going to be excited. We're excited. So let's get into the definition. Again, the show is about sexy. See me. What is sexy? Why are we marketing ourselves? Because the reality of it is that this term sexy has become something that we're marketing ourselves with. We are marketing ourselves, and sex sells. But we all not agree that sex sells.
Definitely.
So whether you – sexy is a derivative from sex, and sex sells. So when we see nude pictures, when we see half-dressed pictures, when we see videos, just video songs – The video songs, when we listen to the song, yes, the song is good. We might like the beat. The beat sells, too. But now we even got the videos that sell it. And, Normie, what is it, especially when you talk about rap, you know, hip-hop? What are their videos full of? Sex.
And even more so than that, when you talk about car advertisements, when you talk about, you know, even food advertisements. Do you remember that Carl's Jr. commercial and it had the girl eating the burger and she dripped it and all the guys were sitting there watching while she was eating the burger and it was just a pervert.
But she was sexy while she was eating it, and she sold that burger. I wonder how many burgers did Burger King sell behind this woman with her sex appeal eating this burger. So we we wanted to remind you all again what this is about. We're going to get on. Hopefully, we'll have enough time to get on the different things. So one of the things I want to say, let's start with the church thing. Let's start with the church. Let's start with apparel. Let's start with what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And we're not going to say we're the judge of what's appropriate, what you wear to church. What we're going to say is that if you will, have an open mind. Have an open mind as we begin to speak.
I think we're getting ready to blow some people's minds out there.
Have an open mind when we get ready to speak. Listen. Ask questions. Even if we say something that you have something scriptural or whatever that does not go along with what we say, we are open to receive correction. But one of the things I found, because I was like, okay, we know that back in the days there were certain denominations that did not even allow their women to wear pants because there was a scripture in the Bible that spoke about a woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear woman's clothing. And so it was just automatically assumed in the 20th century. Now, I want to make sure everyone can hear us. If you cannot hear us or you're getting a bad reception as we speak, can you just dial 1? And then if you're getting a bad reception, if not, we're going to continue on. We just want to make sure that you are hearing us okay. So women in a certain denomination weren't able to wear pants. They weren't able to wear lipstick. They weren't able. It was a lot of things they weren't able to do. And they were saying this was biblically based. So in my studies, what I found out is that guess what? We already know that the dressing back in the biblical days were totally different than how we dress now. That's the first thing. The second thing is you're talking about one area of the earth. So the biblical days was taking place in Egypt and Israel and all those areas. Even today, there may be some certain differences in the dress code. Thirdly, which is so exciting for me, is that this. The men and the women both wore robes. And none of them, the men didn't wear pants back then. Pants is a Western thing. Pants wasn't something that was even worn. So the difference between a woman not dressing like a man and a man not dressing like a woman had absolutely nothing to do with pants. What it had to do with is that there were small differences. For example, they were wearing cloaks and robes and stuff and belt tunics and belts. So, for example, maybe, I don't know, but maybe the woman's belt was maybe thinner and, you know, prettier colors, where the man's belt could have been a little wider and more masculine colors. The men wore turbans to cover their hair, and oftentimes in some culture, the women wore veils to cover their face. So that could be where they meant, well, we don't want to see a woman wearing a turban, or maybe we didn't want to see a man wearing a veil. You know, believe it or not, even in the ancient days of Sodom and Gomorrah, there were cross-dressers. Mm-hmm. And so this is one of the things that they were speaking of in the Bible about that, because oftentimes when the Bible spoke about certain things, like even women not speaking on the pulpit, it was never a general statement for everyone. A lot of times it was a statement for that time. For example, women not speaking on the pulpit, and we often, I'm sure people listening in have heard that, that women are not allowed in certain denominations to get on the pulpit. But where people failed to read was the before scriptures and the after scriptures, which spoke that the women back at that, during that time, there was a pagan religion down the street that the women were going to their Bible studies and getting their information and then trying to bring that false teaching back to the church and speak on it. And so when Paul heard that these women were going to this false temple and trying to bring those same traditions and this false teaching back to the church, he told them to sit they butts down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you let them women get up on the pulpit speaking that nonsense. Well, they took that from way back there and took it all the way into the 21st century, and to this day, there are certain denominations that won't let women get up on the pulpit.
You know, I'm glad that you brought that out, because one of the things that I think, especially as believers, we have to know what we are believing in and who we are believing in and why we are believing in. When we read the Bible, I'm so thankful that the Internet is around. There's some good things about the Internet and some bad things about the Internet, but one thing that it does do is make information and knowledge so readily available.
Mm-hmm.
When we're reading the Bible, we need to take into consideration, like you said, the time, the culture, what was said, why it was said, and who it was said to.
Mm.
And so a lot of times we read for the word and not for the spirit of what was said. So we look at the Bible and we say, okay, Timothy said, in the book of Timothy it says this, today this is what it means. We need to understand what it meant back then and how that applies to today.
Yes.
And so when you talk about modesty, when you talk about the cross-dressing and the different things like that, even the words when the Bible was originally written, the words, it was written in a different language. And so we need to make sure we're understanding that language and how it applies to the language that we're reading in. And a lot of times we don't. And that's sometimes why we go to church and why we sit up under leaders. But make sure you are sitting up under a good leader. Not that you just go on to church, just go to church.
Yes.
Make sure you're sitting up under a good leader, because that leader is going to study. He's going to, he or she is going to bring out why God instructed that writer to write what they did at that time. What was going on at that time? Just like you said, there was so much going on in that background. Paul had to instruct the church because they started mixing so many different religions in with Christianity, and so they had all of this stuff that was just running amok, and I forget the name of the guy who came and visited Paul and wanted instructions, and Paul wrote the instructions so that it can come back into order, because we all know that God is the God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start mixing, and that's how we have so many different holidays that we celebrate and different things like that, they were trying to appease everybody in that land during those times. And so the belief is not about appeasing everybody. What feels good to you is what is good for you. And so I'm so glad that you brought that out. I know I'm being linked because we got to get into this, but definitely.
So now, God, that's good. As you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, this is how easily things get mixed up. For example, I'm just going to use Easter eggs. There's nothing wrong with a boiled egg. You can eat a boiled egg all day long. It's nothing. There's no sin in eating a boiled egg. There's nothing. Let me not say worse sin. That's strong. There's nothing inappropriate about eating a boiled egg, other than it might give you gas, and that's between each individual person. Yet you could take a boiled egg and dye it, and now you might be getting into a religious practice that back in those days was a pagan practice,
mm-hmm.
that they dyed the eggs and you know, and it, you know, for certain reasons. That was done for certain reasons outside of it was a pagan ritual that took place. One of the things I wanted to bring up, because there are two passages, there's two New Testament concerning proper dress for women. And it had nothing to do with whether she wore stilettos or whether she wore pants, whether she wore a skirt or a jacket. It didn't have anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, what it told us was had more to do with adjectives
mm-hmm.
than adjustments.
Mm-hmm. And this is coming from the book of Timothy and the book of Peter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and the reason why I'm bringing that out is because we want you guys, you ladies, to understand, you know, when you think of the word sexy, or you, and because sexy is not a biblical term, we search the Bible and what was closely related and what was instruction in regards to, like she said, dress and character as well, and that's going to be brought out later on in the show, but the word modest is what was what the biblical term used towards how we as women conduct ourselves. And so that's why we're bringing out this scripture, and that's one of the reasons why I brought out the comments on Paul, because the instruction came from Paul, who was the leader or the head of the church during that time. And he was giving instruction to Timothy, but he was actually giving instruction to the believers during that time, because they wanted to know, you know, how do we react, or how do we respond, or how do we live as believers in accordance that it's beneficial to our life, and we're just not running rampant all over the place.
So what we had was here, and you might want to note this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. And I'm just going to read it. And again, like you said, you might want to note it, because you never know when these kind of situations and subjects come up. We see it happen all the time in church. We really do. Church is one of the biggest places, and we see it happen all the time. Now, don't get me wrong, because there is some things that's just totally inappropriate, and I'm going to tell you why I'm saying they're inappropriate. But in here it says in 1 Timothy, and I'm reading out of the NIV, 2nd chapter 9 through 10, it says, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say this because most of us know we wear braids. Most of us know we wear gold and pearls, and most of us wear name brands and stuff. I don't think that was the spirit when they used these words. And keep in mind, these words may have translated as into this. This may not even be the original language. But I don't think the spirit was that you can't wear nice things. I think the spirit in this is that I think it really was speaking of flamboyancy. When you just, you know, just being flamboyant and being flashy.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's what the term of this, that's what now that's just Coach D's opinion. That's what I pick up in my spirit, because I don't want somebody to read this and then all of a sudden they feel like they can't wear their earrings, or they can't wear their wedding bands. That's gold. They can't wear their pearls. They can't go to church and look nice. I don't think that was the spirit of this. I think it was a representation of flamboyance and being flashy.
It definitely wasn't the spirit. So crazy, because I was helping one of my friends with their homework, and we had to do a study on the book of Corinthians. And we had to do a study and had all of this background. And I was like, why am I reading this? First of all, because not my degree in somebody else's. But anyways, what was going on at the time, there was so much mixing that was going on. And they were going out, like you said, and bringing other beliefs, other practices back into the church. And so in order to stop all of that, there were these instructions given. And the instructions were based upon what was going on and the intent of why these women were dressing a certain way, not just because this is what they had on, but what was the intent behind it.
What were they trying to do? And I'm guaranteeing you, because we already know that, you know, when you speak about somebody being flamboyant, there's a cousin to the spirit of flamboyancy. And the cousin to the spirit of flamboyancy is see me. It's a spirit of attention. Look at me. Well, if you're coming in and you're all flashy and all the attention goes towards your flashiness or your flamboyancy, then you're not getting what you really need to get in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The second scripture that speaks about women and what their outward appearance should be was in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful.
Mm.
Now, this is the word of God, and I think that last scripture said it all, is because what are we trying to do? Now, I'm going to tell you, back in the days, I mean, I would put on my, it was certain weird things. I mean, I would wear stuff with the cleavage showing, and, you know, you wear your little mini skirt or, you know, your tight jeans or whatever it is that you was going to wear. You would wear those things. And why do we do that? Come on, let's keep it real. This was B.C. Meaning, when I was out there in them clubs, I was going to dress a certain way to get a certain amount of attention for me. I was going to do that. So I was going to dress a certain way because I was marketing myself and sexy sales. So to me, not knowing that not really understanding what sexy meant, to me, society had already painted the picture. And in society, the picture was painted that the less was the better. So the less you wore, the better. And that was the thought of what sexy was. So when you went out, if you looked sexy, sexy was going to get the attention. Sexy was going to get you the dances on the dance floor. Sexy was going to get you, you know, the numbers passed. And the sexier you believed you were, the more attention you would get. So if that be the case, and sexy is selling or marketing something as a see me, and you're marketing, is sexy appropriate in the church?
You know, I did a lot of research. Well, we did a lot of research, first and foremost. And one of the things, because I'm going to take it back to the word modesty, and I'm going to take it back to the instruction that was given and the importance of why it was given, so that as we continue on in this day, we can know how to govern ourselves as believers, as women of God, as women in general. First and foremost, when we get dressed, even when we're posting pictures and social media and different things like that, a lot of times we say, oh, I dress for me. I dress because that's how, you know, I'm not worried about anybody else looking at me. I'm not worried about what anybody else say. It's for me. But I want us all to be totally real in this moment. If it was just for you and wasn't for anybody else, guess what? You wouldn't even have to put that on, because pretend like you're a blind person. You would put on anything. You wouldn't know what it looked like, and you would still operate a certain way. You would still behave a certain way. So when you go for you know, the prettier stuff or what you think is sexier or what you think is nicer, it's not really just for you. Because when you get a comment and that makes you feel good, you're grateful or you're liking the comments. When you post a picture, you're hoping people say, oh, she looked good, or she cute, oh, you cute, oh, Miss Thing, go, girl, whatever the case may be. If it was just for you, you wouldn't even put that picture up. You wouldn't even post the picture.
You wouldn't. You know, one of the things I want to say is that, what about this? If sexy was so, and I only want to use the word sexy, because word sexy is not a word. It really is not a word. It's a derivative. But I'm going to have to use it to make this point. Why is it that, and I just want to cause women to say, why is it that sexy will get a lot of attention? It will get a lot of men looking. It will get a lot of men barking. It'll get a lot of men in a bed, but it won't get a lot of women married. Why is that? If sexy was so this, because oftentimes what you see and we heard, and you guys, you could chime in, sis. You know, I've talked to men after men after men, and I hear most men say the same thing. That's sexy. Oh, she bad. But my woman can't dress like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My woman better not be out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't want your woman out there like that, you don't want your woman dressing like that, because oftentimes the men, and there's a saying that says the man takes a good girl home. He takes a good girl to meet his parents. The sexy woman he's been kicking it with for 5-6 years, but it's a good girl to walk down the aisle. Why is that?
Well, one of the things, first and foremost, the term sexy, like you said, is pertaining to sex. So when we call ourselves sexy, it's pertaining to a sexual connotation. Whether we say, well, this is what I hold it to be, or this is what I believe it is, it's just like that word thought. You can believe in what it is, whatever you want to believe it, but everybody has, you know, the masses is what controls what's going on. And until you can convert the masses, that is the law of the land.
Yeah.
And so when we think of the word sexy, and we're saying that we want to be sexy, what does that mean to us, you know? And, again, when Paul was addressing us or addressing the church at that time, he was really pertaining to, it was more than just your dress. It was your behavior. It was your frame of mind. It was the way that you conducted yourself. When I looked up the word modest, because I wanted to find a word that was closely and related to sexy, when you Google what does it say about sexy in the Bible, it takes us back to Timothy, it takes us back to Peter, and it talks about modesty. But when I looked up the word modest, it is a Latin word, and the closest word that comes to it in Greek and Hebrew, when we talk about the Greek word, is cosmios, and it's an adjective, and it means to pertain to being orderly, virtuous, decent, well-ordered. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing that I want us to understand, because when we think of modesty, we might think of, oh, you're not cute, you're not beautiful, you're not sexy. But I'm gonna change some people's minds about what it means to, you know, we think sexy. Again, we pertain it to sex, but when you think of the word modest and well ordered, you're conducting yourself in a certain way. You start walking in your purpose. You start walking in your anointing. What people are really attracted to is the power and the confidence. They term that as being sexy.
Right.
But if you take it back to the word, it's the authority, it's the anointing that you walk in of who God has called you to be.
Yes.
And so when you walk in purpose and you're confident, people are attracted to that. And that's
the
why we want to be sexy.
Yes.
That's why we want to be sexy, because we want people to be attracted to who we are. But I'm going to tell you, if you are who you are, if you are who God has called you to be, that's the most attractive, because that's your genuine, true self. And so, again, the Greek word for modest is cosmios. And when I looked it up in the Hebrew word, because I wasn't just satisfied with the Greek translation, I wasn't just satisfied with the Latin translation. When I looked it up in Hebrew, the word is sana. It starts with a T, but it's sana. And it means humbly, to be modest or humble, or to keep close, to reserve, to preserve.
Mm.
And so when you walk and you reserve yourself, when you are, when you, you're not hanging all out for everybody to see, that is so attractive. And we wonder as women, why do we attract certain people? Why do I always get in that type of relationship? Why am I always with these type of people? Why can't I ever get this type of man? You have to start understanding what you're doing it, why you're doing it, and what words are you living under? What words are controlling? You know, who put a spell on you? That's
yes.
what culture says.
Yes.
Who put a spell on you?
Yes.
Because, again, a good word spoken is a blessing. A bad word spoken is a curse. We talk about magic, and I'm not really going to go there, but, you know, there's so many people who try and take it there. But God's word governs all. And there's, again, life and death. When you bless and when you curse, that's where they started pulling magic into certain things. That's where they feel like they tried to take what God had called order and disorganize and do it out of order.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
again, when you start walking in honor, when you start reserving yourself, when you start walking in your anointing and your power and your authority, you are going to attract like kind.
Yes, yes.
And so when you walk in trying to be sexy, you're going to attract like kind. And so when you get mad because that man wanted to lay down with you, because that spirit that was on him, which is the same spirit that was on you, they start intermingling, they start intertwining. Now you get up mad. But it was never about who you were in the first place. It was never about who you are in the first place. It was about what you were doing, who you were pretending to be. Because when we're not who God has called us to be, we're acting.
Mm-hmm.
We're acting out.
Yeah.
You know, a whole nother vision, a whole nother reality. But those are some of the words, and again, it was telling us to be respectable. It was telling us to have self-control. And the reason why they wanted us to have self-control at the time, you know, God has so designed women that we're able to have more self-control than men. We really are. And so, you know, we say, well, what I do don't make somebody else, just because I did this, it doesn't make somebody else do that, but we inspire life in people. You inspire life in men. And so when you, again, when you start walking in power and authority and purpose, there are certain things that can't and won't come your way.
Exactly.
And so when you're walking that way in the church and you're walking and conducting yourself that way around men, guess what? There will be certain type of men, they may even pretend like they want to try, but that spirit is going to shut them down. Have you ever been somewhere and, you know, you see a whole lot of stuff going on, but none of that stuff come near you, you know?
I was getting ready to say, sis, you know, and I'm just going to keep it transparent. I'm single. I'm single. And one of the things I noticed is, because I'm in purpose. I am walking in my purpose right now. My plate is so full, and I got so many things going on. I would think that I'm a decent looking woman. I got it going on for every intents and purposes. When you talk about stability and handling my business, both professional and spiritual, you know, a good mom, take care of home, clean home, you know, all the things that when you take about a list that maybe somebody might put down, a man may put down that he wanted a woman, right? So, and I'm not bragging to our listening audience. I'm just saying I would think that I'm a hot commodity. You know, let me rephrase that. I am a good thing. So whoever he is, find me, he will find a good thing. And I know I'm a good thing. So I say that to say that I cannot get. I'm not getting no action.
Mm-hmm.
None. And sometimes the flesh of me say, God, is something wrong with me? What's wrong, Lord? Why I can't get, you know, why I'm not getting, you know, can I just at least go, you know? But the reality of it is that God has the perfect made for me, because guess what? I am a floating rib, meaning I'm misplaced. And if you are single, you are misplaced rib, because you haven't been placed yet. There is a rib cage that is waiting for you. And any rib cage that you get into prior to the rib cage that God got purposed for you, it's going the same thing. When you get a major organ transplant, if you get to do a major organ transplant into somebody and it's not a good fit, what happens? Exactly. The body rejects it, and you become sick, and it won't fit, and you're sick, and they have to literally take that organ out and now either put you on a machine or something until they can find the right fit. We have gone through our lives, and many of us have not just been in one marriage or one relationship. We've been in multiple ones. We're the woman at the well. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, you have been married many times. And so many of us is the woman at the well, and we keep, we keep looking. Listen to this. We keep looking for our rib cage. First of all, we don't have no business looking. That's not the way it goes, because it's he who finds a wife that finds a good thing. It's the men are hunter-gatherers. They're the hunters. And what we've seen a lot going on in the world today, especially the 21st century, is that the women are turning into the hunters. And I'm going to tell you, that's not our position. It's the man's position to be hunter-gatherers. So if it's the man's natural position to be hunter-gatherers, and the women are turning into hunters, and you hunting down and getting a man, then you better check, because maybe he's not a man after all. Because he's out of order. Because he's not to be hunted. He's the hunter. So if he's being hunted and he falls prey to your hunt, then don't be mad when you find out that you got some boy sitting on your couch playing video games, eating up your food while you're going to work every day.
Mm.
Don't get mad, because you became the hunter.
Mm.
And again, it would be just like a gazelle and a lion. If the gazelle go after the lion and the gazelle win the fight over the lion, then that lion was broken. He was broke down. He was weak. He was a lion by name, but he had lost his mane. He was not a lion. If the gazelle was over, he was sick. He would have had to have been sick and weak. Maybe he was shot earlier or got in a fight with a rhinoceros or something, and he was weak. He was on his deathbed. He was ready to die. For the gazelle to overtake him, and you guys have, I'm laughing, but you got to get the picture of the gazelle and the lion. It's the lion that hunts the gazelle. If the gazelle starts to hunt the lion and she's able to capture him, then he was already damaged.
In the first place.
He was damaged, because she wouldn't have been able to overtake him unless he was damaged. And we do that, women. We go on a hunt. And then when we finally catch this thing that we hunting, we pissed off, because he ain't got a job, he ain't got a car, he ain't got no place to live. And now the next thing we know, we bring them into our place, because the mother instinct, the nurturer comes in, we bring them into our place. Now we feeding them, and now we helping them, and all this stuff. And now we're doing that out of a good, we're doing it out of ignorance. You know, we're doing it because we love them. We want to be that down, ride or die chick. We want to be there for him. You know, I'm going to help him through. I'm going to be that woman, because one day he's going to be successful. We fall in love with potential.
And all of a sudden he healthy again, and we mad he acting like a lion.
Yeah, if he get healthy. Most of them don't get healthy. Most of them lay around as the wounded lion while you continue to be the glorious gazelle. But if he get healthy, and now he comes into his rightful mind, what's going to happen is either you're going to have to recognize who he is rightfully and step down and be able to submit and allow him to be who he's called to be, which is, that happens sometimes, but in most cases what happened is you don't know how to submit. So now this lion who's worn, you didn't fed him, you didn't got him back healthy, you didn't licked his wounds, now he's a lion, and he's trying to be the dominant, and that's what he's supposed to do. Now you don't want him to dominate. You pissed off because he's healthy, because you wanted him to stay unhealthy so you could continue to control the situation. Now he's healthy.
So you could continue to be a savior.
His savior. And he's healthy now. He want to dominate. He want to walk around the house and talk about what needs to be done. And you looking at him crazy because it's like, now you want to say stuff like, this ain't your house. If you want to run somebody's house, get your own house. You know, you want to do stuff like that. So I'm saying that, and hopefully this is blessing somebody, because we got to make sure that we stay in our proper roles. And everybody, we have roles, women. We really do have roles. And when we stay in our roles, when we know, like Minister LaDon was saying, the confidence of who we are, when you know your roles, when you know who you are, when you know who God created you to be, when you know you are a good thing, when you know that there is a value in you. And I'm not saying I see these men on Facebook, I hate them, because a woman's in a relationship, she's going through, and the last thing she needs to hear is some men talking about she don't value herself because she's in a bad relationship. Let's stop that stuff right now. Cancel it out. And stop. And let's stop posting that garbage, because it's not biblical, and let's stop posting it. Let's just pray for the woman that she comes to her right mind to recognize who she is. Let's pray for the brother that he comes to his right mind and recognize who he is. He's the king. He's the lion. He's the king of the jungle. And so, and let's pray that he gets into that position so that he could be respected as such, and so that he could do the things that he's supposed to do in that leadership role.
Mhm. Mhm. That was excellent. I love the story. Because, you know, I can remember a time where there was someone that I was attracted to. They were attracted to me, and I wasn't getting the response that I wanted. And I said, you're not responding. I said, wait, you just watch. So I said, I knew I was going to see him the next day. I said, he going to respond today, you know, and he responded, you know, and I got dressed in a way that I felt like, and don't get me wrong, because I didn't have my cleavage all showing out and all of that, and not that I never have, but I'm just saying my intent was to hunt. I was getting some attention, and you were going to respond to me. And so that's where I want to take what you said and go in that direction, because when we are trying to be sexy, or when we're getting dressed, when we're out in the world and we're conducting ourselves, and just being real, there's certain things that either we're attracting unconsciously or we are attracting consciously. And so we want to know, what do we want to attract? What is my brand? What am I wanting to come into my world and be a part of my world? And what do I want to give back to the world? And so when you get dressed and you mad because now somebody responding to you in a certain way and you want them to respond to you differently because you're smart and you're beautiful and you have a brain and you have degrees, but, you know, you want them to look and say you're cute and all of that too, that's fine that you want them to say that you're cute. But the first thing that you want to do when you get up in the morning before you get dressed is dress up your mind.
Ooh.
Dress up your mind. Dress up your spirit.
Mm.
And then get dressed. Because I guarantee you, when you dress your mind first and when you dress your spirit first and then you get dressed, whatever you put on is going to be anointed. Because you're walking in your anointing. You're walking in your purpose, and so you're going to go out and you're going to attract the things that God has already put in place for you to attract.
Yes.
You know, if you're getting up and, you know, you're walking out the door looking raggedy, and I'm going to say that, because if you're looking raggedy, you're definitely not in purpose. You might be going through something in the spirit. You might be going through something in the mind, and now you're dressing that way, and that's what you're going to attract. You're going to attract a raggedy situation. You're going to attract raggedy circumstances. And so, again, when you get up and before you go to bed and you start undressing, when you undress, think about what you are going to be doing the next day. Think about, you know, how God covered your day so that when you get dressed the next morning, you can dress, you know, you're going to jump up and you're going to get dressed. And the things that you start pulling out is just going to be purposeful and purpose-filled and purpose-intent. And when you walk out into that world, guess you're going to walk in power and authority. You're going to walk in your anointing. You're going to walk in your calling. And so when you walk into a room, it wouldn't matter if everybody in that room was blind, because as soon as you open your mouth, they are going to be able to see you.
Woo!
So
that is it. And you know what? I often hear people say, I have actually seen people who walk out the house crazy, and their response to that is, I don't care what people think about me, but guess what? And then people say, it's the inner beauty, not the outer. Hold up, wait a minute, because what you put in comes out.
Uh-huh.
If you put garbage in, it's garbage out. If you're baking a cake and you're on assembly line and you got your eggs, you got your flour, and you got your milk, and you at the front of that line, guess what? If you put grade A, cage-free, bird-free, or whatever you call it, eggs, you put whole wheat, top-of-the-line flour, and then you put some spoiled milk. And you could stir it. It looked good. You could put it through the. You could put it in the bowl. Put it through the oven. And when it come out on the other end, it's spoiled because the milk was no good. So in other words, quality in, quality out. If your mind is messed up, I don't care how cute, and we've seen them. I don't care how fine you are on the outside. If your attitude is stank, guess what? Everything on the outside is stank. We don't find pretty people when the attitude. Likewise, you can have a great attitude. Your great attitude should still dictate the outer person.
Mm-hmm.
Your great attitude, and I'm not talking about looks, because we often hear people say, And look into the beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Uh-huh.
What's cute to one person may not be cute to the next person. What's fine to one, you know, so that thing right there is not about that. When we're talking about your attitude on the inside should dictate on the outside, is that if you have a good attitude, a positive attitude, an attitude of purpose on the inside, then it's going to reflect on the outside. That means you're going to be well-groomed.
Mm-hmm.
Well-groomed is not about whether you have a suit on or a dress on or tennis shoes and some jeans. Well-groomed is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Your hygiene is in order. Your body language, everything is going to be in order, because when you are confident on the inside, it shows on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You walk with confidence. You walk upright, you know, and it shows. This has been a great show, and I know we got some other things, but what I want to do is be fair to our listening audience, and we want to open up the floodgate. Woo! So if you are listening in on tonight and you have a question, a comment, you want to add to, take away, whatever it is, we are now giving you an opportunity to join us by dialing 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or comment. Whatever it is that you need to say at this time, again, this would be the time to do it. We are coming towards the end of the show. We do have some minutes, so we don't want you to feel like, oh, it's the last minute, I better not say nothing. If you have something to say, this is the time to say it. Dial 1 on your dial pad, and we will bring you in. We know that this is woman to woman. We are your host, but we are not. We're your host. We host the show. We come up with the ideas and topics, but we're not the know-all.
No,
you know, we have to study, we have to pray, we have to listen just like you do. And so we're always open to hear the opinions or the comments from our listening audience. It blesses us because it tells us that you're engaged. It tells us if you enjoyed the show or not by your participation in it. So we would love to hear your comments. Men that might be sneaking listening in, we're telling you, come out. You know, if you're there, men, and you're listening in and you feel like, ooh, I sure want to say something, but I'm a man. I won't say nothing. I'll leave it to the women. Yes, if you're a man and you're listening in on tonight and you have something you want to say about anything that's been said or what your definition of sexy or attraction or purpose is, please dial 1 on your dial pad. Again, we would love to hear your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to talk a little bit, and then if you dial 1 at any time, we are coming towards the end of our show. We are actually at the end, and we're, you know, running a little bit over. This has just been such an enriched discussion, and it really has I just pray that it has blessed someone about, you know, the next time you take in, you know, it says sex. Because sexy, remember, there's no definition of sexy other than it's a derivative from sex. And we know that the word it tells us that sex is only appropriate in the marriage bed,
mm-hmm.
in the bedroom. And it says that there is nothing defiled in the bedroom for married couples. So saying that, so if you want to be sexy all day long with your husband in your bedroom. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Chat Snack, all of that stuff, Twitter, all of that stuff. It's just not the appropriate form for, quote, sex, unquote, pictures. Not sexy because sex is a derivative of sex. It's just not appropriate. So when you're on these things and you're doing, you know, the butt shot and the cleavage shots and all of that kind of stuff, guess what? You're going to get exactly what you deserve.
I wouldn't.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh,
I wouldn't say that.
I'm sorry. You're going to get what you don't deserve. Because what you're probably really looking for is love. And that's not where it's at.
This is what I would say is because we want to be attractive. That's what we want to be. We want to be attractive. And so, again, know what you are attracting when you are trying to be attractive, because it is not just about the clothing you wear. It's your demeanor. It's your actions. Your attitude. It's how you carry yourself. And so. When you carry yourself, if you carry yourself in a classy, well-ordered way, you are going to attract classy, well-ordered things. And if we let the world determine, like Minister D said, we know that the world says when you stick your butt out there and you show your butt pictures that a man is going to come on and he's going to comment on your pictures and he's going to be like, ooh, looking good over here, Miss Thing, or ooh, sexy, or ooh. And then some of us might get offended and some of us might like that, some of us might enjoy it, but know what you're attracting. Sometimes we take pictures and we say we're just being cute, but we lean over and all our cleavage is hanging out. And it's not like we don't notice. And guess what? I'm glad Minister D said that, because guess what is happening? Our daughters are doing the same thing.
They're doing the same thing. And the thing about it is I was just watching a video that post on Facebook on yesterday. I think it was yesterday. My niece sent me a link, and it was a man. This was a grown man. And he was talking about his 17-year-old daughter got caught up. She had been on the internet. She met some friends, and She met a friend, and this friend was a decoy. This friend was her age, and you know, they became really good friends. And then she wanted to go spend a night over the friend's house. So her parents did all the stuff they were supposed to do. They met the girl's parents, And they were, she was going on vacation. She was gonna go on vacation with the people. So they met the girl's parents, and they did all this stuff. All of a sudden, he had been talking to his daughter every day while she was gone. She was having a good time. She would call them two or three times. Then on day three, he gets a call, and it was a call from the FBI. His daughter was in custody because she had been basically a part of a sex ring.
Oh,
she
wow.
wasn't the runner of it, but they had basically was getting ready to take her and sell her. It was a Super Bowl sting. So during Super Bowl, this family, the adults, had a ring going where they were taking young girls and kids and selling them to the highest bidder. They said that Super Bowl Sunday is the largest trafficking,
wow,
human trafficking ever, that you got all these people coming in with all this money, and can you believe it's that many sick people that's looking for young kids and young girls to have sex with, to you know, and he was talking about this. Thank God he got his daughter back unharmed.
Wow.
But these are the kind of things we need to watch out for our kids, because even our young girls is trying to be sexy.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be sexy.
And
sexy me.
Yeah.
And they're doing all this inappropriate stuff. They're posting this stuff. And then you got perverts that's out there that's looking, that's waiting. Because what it says, not only to the pervert, forget the sex, but forget to seeing all the body parts in this. What it says to the pervert is that if this young girl is doing this, it says to him that there's a breakdown somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That she's not happy at home. She's not happy with herself. It says so many different things to him, because he's already studied the act and how they behave. He already knows. He knows the ones that's having issues with her parents. He knows the ones that feel like outcasts. He can see by their behavior and what they do. And I often, you know, I didn't have the girls, but I have the boys. And I look at them and I watch, because you got predators that's not just preying on girls, but boys. And so I'm constantly looking at my sons and, you know, and constantly correcting even in their body language, you know, to walk with confidence, you know, walk with your head up, your shoulders back, hold on to your birthrights. And if you don't know what those are, birthrights are
confidence, courage, hope, belief, faith, trusting God as the source of our hope.
So those birthrights, we got to instill them in our kids, because when they got those, they won't be messed with.
Yeah.
And even when I didn't know that I didn't have them, I had them.
Yeah.
You know, and so we just have to make sure, and not even talking about instilling them in our kids, we got to make sure that we're instilling them in ourselves. We got to know what we're operating in. We got to know who we are and who we belong to. If you want to be attracting, that's fine, or attractive, that's fine. You don't have to be attractive, because attractive is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to try to be attractive. Attractive is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You're going to attract the right things to you. You're going to attract your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to attract the things
mm-hmm.
that God, when you're lined up vertically, everything horizontally, God is taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to attract what you need to attract for your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to try to be attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You are attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in line with God, your attractiveness, your attraction is going to attract the right thing.
That's a magnet.
That's a magnet. And so we do have a caller, area code 773, last 46140. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hello. Hi. My name is Carolyn. I tuned in a little bit late. However, the show is very informative, and I was like, oh, wow, because I am a woman of God, and when you all talk about sexiness, and I'm like, I'm guilty of some kind of dressing, oh, my God, that's me. I dress most of the time, but time I'll dress like, and it's because sometimes you find yourself like looking at, it's so much influence out here, like, that's what I have to take to look sexy. And I once was married. I was married for 13 years. I'm now divorced. And getting back out here dating, and, you know, it's like, as they say, so much competition. But it's come from, I get a lot of men compliment me because they said, oh, I dress appropriate, and I dress sexy, but I dress appropriate as well. It's not like I have everything hanging out, but when I go on vacation, that's totally different. You don't know me, I don't know you. But when it comes to, I guess, dressing sexy, and I think about the young women that's out here, and I have friends that have, now women are so insecure with themselves that I have so many friends that have had boobs done and, you know, just a tummy tuck. Everybody want a small stomach and big booties. And I'm like, wow, is this what it's coming to have sex? But men, they like, oh, men like big booties. But that's like, that's what it takes now. You have to have a big booty. Men don't like women with brains and beauty, but that's not true. But you find yourself, if you out here with her and you're like, oh, wow, should I get a little tummy tuck here? That's what it takes to attract a man. But you have to know your self-worth to know that once you know who you are, and definitely that's who you attract. And I'm like, you all really need, because there's so many young ladies that's out here lost. Everybody want to wear, they wear these stretch pants that look, they're stockings. Like, you see their underwear, you see all their imprints, like, oh, my God, they're lost. And it's because they look at video and look at MTV and all these hip-hop Atlanta, and they're saying everybody got a little tiny waist and a big booty, and that's what girls looking for now. And that's what they think, that's what you all call, they say, sexy. For men to attract a man. And it's really sad, but I'm like, oh, my God. But going back to saying that I'm definitely a woman of God, and then sometimes I get lost and like, God, if God saw me now, would he be pleased of what I'm, if I'm stepping out the house in this? So you have to take a look at yourself and take a look deep inside yourself and say, you know what? Am I doing this to please other people? Am I pleasing myself?
That's true. One of the things that you said that's so true is because when you are a child of God, the very presence, the very spirit of God lives on the inside of us. So none of us can say that when we walked out of our house a certain way, that if we didn't get convicted. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If there wasn't something that said, ooh, maybe this was inappropriate, especially, you know, and I think that things are, you know, certain things, for example, a bikini. A bikini is appropriate on the beach. It's not appropriate at the
pool.
At the park.
Yeah,
you know, I say that because a bikini could be seen as half naked.
And depending upon what type of
depending on what environment. For example, I could wear a summer dress that's a back out, you know, beautiful flowing summer dress that's a back out. And if I was at a, you know, at the park, a family barbecue, the picnic, if I was on a cruise, that would be short. That would be appropriate. But that wouldn't be appropriate for Sunday morning walking in the church. And, you know, you hear people say things like, God takes you as you are. You know, yes, he do. He could save the person in the bikini, too. He could love the person in the bikini. But we all have common sense, and we know that common sense is not that common these days. But we do have common sense, and it's certain things that is not appropriate to do.
I agree with you, because going to church now is like going to a strip club. When you go to church, it's like they leave the strip club and go to church. It's like, wow. And it is saying in the Bible, come as you are. God said he accepts you as you are. So when the pastor's like, oh, come as you are, man, and people literally take it. They come with their back out, no bra, no panties. I mean, you don't go. It's
going to church is like going to a strip club or going to a nightclub now. And it's really sad because I'm like, would you go on a interview like that? Yeah, some women will go on an interview like that, so yes. But for the most part, most women will not go to the interview. They're going to look their best, presentable, suit the heels, but they're going to go to church in stilettos, back out. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, this is God's house. You still should look presentable. Where was the time? You can't really find slips no more in stores. I remember when I used to wear a slip to work. They were like, why are you wearing a slip? People don't wear slips no more. I'm like, yes, they do. I don't want nobody looking through my clothes. So,
it's appropriate because you got to ask yourself, why would you even go into the house of God with anything that would make people, you know, I've worn some things before, you know, that when I walked out the house, I felt comfortable in, and then when I got there, I found myself pulling and constantly pulling and pulling. And I have, you know, so I can't say that I haven't been guilty of wearing some things that could have been seen as, ooh, that, you know, that's a little tight, you know, or that's a little short, you know. And so we just have to be conscious, you know, conscious and aware. And the thing about it is that one of the things I would say is that if you are at church, the one thing I will say to people is that when people walk into church like that, the worst thing we could do
is condemn
them, frown up at them, because some, believe it or not, everybody don't really have a personal relationship with God. A lot of people don't even know. They know, they've heard about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And so they're coming to church because they're trying to know Jesus. And it's the word of God, the uncompromisable word of God, that causes people to begin to be transformed. And they need transformation, and they can't get transformation if they come into the church and then all of a sudden everybody looking at them crazy. I mean, I can remember going to churches and the ushers or the mothers of the church would come up and say, come here, and take you in the back and then put you on some robe or something, and now you're embarrassed. Well, I'm going to sit in church and hear the word now because now I'm embarrassed because you done put me on something that I don't even, you done put me on a green dress with my purple shoes, you know, or something. So we just got to be conscious. We got, that's what shows like Woman to Woman are. That's what, they got a lot of young lady mentoring programs out there that's mentoring young ladies, that's discipling them, that's teaching them the right way, that's teaching them what's appropriate and not appropriate. A lot of these young ladies came out of single-parent homes. A lot of them came from teenage mothers, and the teenage mother didn't know. And if she don't know nothing, she can't teach her daughter nothing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is going, and they don't know unless they'll be taught. I see these girls on Facebook and stuff, even relatives that I know, young relatives that I know, that's saying, oh, I want me a good man. I want me a good man because I'm a good woman, as they boob is hanging out. And it's like a good man. And they have to be told. They have to be taught. Because a good man ain't going to want you, baby. You don't love yourself. You haven't even realized who you are yet. And until you realize who you are and start respecting yourself and loving yourself, a good man will never be attracted to you. So we have been going. No, that's okay. We're getting towards the end of our show, and I know we might have to do a
I know. You have to do a continuation of this because I just have to say one more thing about the church. I'm from Chicago, and it was I would say a mega church, but it was it's a pretty large church in Chicago. And the pastor, one of the pastors, he stepped down, so they have a younger pastor. Like very, very nice looking pastor before he got married. And the women was coming there. They weren't coming there to hear the word of God. The women was coming there because they knew this pastor was single. These women were bringing him cakes, pies, cupcakes, short mini skirts, no underwear on, everything they possibly could. But when he married a lady, and guess what? The women just said, you know what? Let's go somewhere else. Some of them come to church for different reasons, too.
Definitely
at their church. He had women, oh, my God, women were standing in line for this man because they knew he was single, nice looking, and it was a new pastor of this church. I said, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
All the wrong reasons.
That was one of the reasons why Paul was telling us, you know, instructing us how to dress, because, you know, if we all go into a certain place and we are tracking certain things, how can our mind possibly be set upon receiving instruction, receiving guidance?
And the man of God, you know, the man of God, he's a man. And he's up there trying to do the will of God, and then you got all these people walking in here half dressed. I mean, that's a distraction for him. That's a direct attack. And the women don't even realize that they're being used by the enemy to cause havoc.
And excuse my French. And then we are pissed off at that leader when he falls or when he fails, and we want to leave the church, and we don't, you know, and now we mad at the church, we mad at God, but we're not being accountable and responsible as people, as children of God.
Yes.
You know, and so now we pissed off because he failed, when we know every day in our own lives, and I'm not making excuses for leaders failing, but I'm saying leaders are people too, and there will come a time when every man in life, not just non-leaders, but every single person in life fails at something. And that is why we need God. That is why we need Jesus. That is why we go to church. That is why we mix with believers. That is why we get the word in us and we worship. And that is why we follow after someone and something who is higher than ourselves, helping us to elevate ourselves to the next level.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Steve, everything attack now, because they know his time is winding down. So therefore, he's attacking the church. He's attacking families. He's attacking everything he can because he knows his job, and he knows that his time, his clock is like ticking. So therefore, it's just that now, if we never was in the Word of God, we really need to be in the Word of God, because as we see, our society has, the morality of our society has gone down. Like, no one is so sad that everyone accepts this. It's okay to accept this. But when you say you God's child, you have to stand up, even though I'm like, like, you may not like what I say, but I'm like, it's God's word. Get mad at him. I mean, you can't get mad at me. I'm like, God says wrong. So, and I know it was a posting on Facebook said how Christians say, oh, you can be premarital sex and drugs and everything else, but hate homosexuals. It's not that. If different people see different things, like if I'm a homosexual and you're a Christian, I just think you're against me because I'm a homosexual. Everybody, they want to point out everybody's sin. And God said there's no perfect person. But they want to point out everyone's sin, like, okay, well, if you curse, you still a sinner. Yes, but I'm not, because what your lifestyle, you still be held accountable unto God. I'm just saying what God's word is saying is wrong, and not that he hates you. He hates the sin. That's what I'm saying. So now we don't speak up as Christians anymore because we don't want to hurt no one's feelings.
Definitely. And you know, we have to be more concerned about our spirits and our spirit, our soul, than we are about hurting people's feelings. That's one of the reasons why we do this show, and that's why we say we're going to bring some real topics to our sisters, and some of the stuff you guys might like to hear about, some of the stuff you might not like to hear about, but we're going to keep it real. We're going to be transparent, and we're going to do our best to bring you word,
truth
that's going to help you, that's going to bless you, and take you to another level.
Yeah.
And we do that for ourselves. You know, you guys may have heard me when I stopped Coach D, when I was like, oh, no, you know, don't say that. But believe you me, she corrects me in a second. Pardon me. She'll correct me in a minute. And there's been many times where she corrects me, and, you know, I might go off for a minute, like go into background, fade away, and then I have to come back, and I tell her, you know what, thank you. You know, it didn't feel good at the time. You know, I was upset about it at the time. She even had to correct me on the way that I dress. You know, most people don't know that we used to work together for the same organization, but in different parts of the company, because the organization has several different companies up under the umbrella. And as COO, I came through the door. I had some cute ripped jeans. I had on a cute top and different things like that. And you know what? You look cute. You look good. You go into a club. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, you are inappropriate. As the leader of a company, you are walking through the door inappropriately. And I was mad. I was ticked off. How are you going to tell me? First of all, I look cute. Second of all, you're just mad. You're mad because I look cute. But, you know, I had to step back and I had to hear the truth of what she was saying. And I never walked back through the door. And, and she's like, you cannot wear that to the workplace. And I never did. I never did. Now, there may be other things that she had to correct me along through the process. But from the correction that she's given me through my process, I've grown into being a much more mature woman of God, woman first and foremost, woman of God, mother, believer, and even in, you know, the mentoring and the coaching and ministering that I do, had it not been for a lot of the different correction that she gave me, I wouldn't be able to sit here today and, you know, bring forth the work that we do through her corrections, her mentoring, and different things like that. So we do have to be in a place of not being worried about my feelings, because during this time, I'm still, you know, when she corrects me, I'm still her you know, I'm still her running buddy, but she had to correct me because it was an inappropriate, thing to do in an inappropriate place. And so she was more worried about who I am rather than what I was trying to do or what I was trying to wear. And so, you know, when people walk through the door or had to walk through the door for meetings, I could be taken in accordance with the power and authority that I had rather than being dismissed because of what I was wearing. So...
Amen. Well, we thank you, Carla, for tuning in, and we hope that you continue to tune in with us every Tuesday. We're here every Tuesday.
Sorry.
We're here every Tuesday, and we are at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we thank all of our callers for calling in. We thank you for listening. We hope that something was said today that was enlightening, that was encouraging, that was educational, and that was empowering. We hope that you join us again next week on Tuesday at 7 p.m. for Woman to Woman. Also, this week, Thursday, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach B, at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on Monday, at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Relentless Pursuit. For those of you that have not tuned into Relentless Pursuit, it is a show for the millennial generation. They're reaching out to the millennial generation. So normally ages up to about 30. That show, 17 to about 30, is a good show for. So if you have young adults, that would be a great show for them on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. And, again, we have Woman to Woman on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And, of course, we're talking about topics that matter to women, topics that will continue to empower, encourage, and educate our women, bringing us together in a sisterhood, tearing down the barriers that we often have. And then, again, like I said, Processing the Pain on Thursdays with your brings in various topics and various guests, and we deal with processing life's pain. and pursuing purpose in order to partake in God's promises. So, again, we thank you for your continual support. Tonight we did run over quite a bit, and we do apologize to our listeners who wants to listen to everything. We did run over quite a bit. That's not normal for those who listen in weekly know that we normally don't go over. We almost went over 30 minutes.
Wow.
So we say thank you. We love you so much. Father, we just pray for our sisters. Lord, we lift them up before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you that they will find favor with you, Father, favor with you and with men, that everything they touch prospers. Father, we pray that this word has planted a seed of hope in them, Lord. Father, for those who may have been going in the wrong direction, we pray that tonight's word has re-guided them and restructured them, Father. We thank you, Father, for the word that went forth. We thank you for your uncompromisable word, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, for your presence, your very presence, Father, that ministers to our listening audience. So, Father, as they walk away from here today, we know that they're walking away full, that they're walking away with something, Father. And, Father God, that any questions that they have, Lord, that they will be willing to go before your throne, Lord, and ask of you that you will give them exactly what they need.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woman to woman.